Grant, O Heavenly Father, that as we read thy word, it may speak to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, if you have difficulty hearing me, I apologize. I'll do my best. What I want you to do is turn with me to Genesis 49. And verse 2. But we read verses 1 and 2. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. His voice was strong, although he was an old man. He gathered up his strength, he leaned on his staff, and he says at the end of the chapter, he commanded his sons, and they listened to him. The words of a dying man to dying men. And that is how speaking is done. We are all dying, and we are all having to face the fact. Now he wants to tell his sons what will happen to them for a very long time into the future. And that is really what we want to tell the church. The way the church is going to mark its path for a very long time into the future. And here it is. Now you must remember that this man had all his sons round his bed. And he starts with the eldest son of Leah, and he was called Reuben. And Reuben was an unstable character, called unstable as water, morally unstable. And he says that he won't excel. And that is simple truth. Our country is not excelling because it's morally unstable. Our church is not excelling, and I don't mean just us, but the church in this land, because it is morally unstable. And once a thing is morally unstable, it cannot excel. That is the word here, and it is very, very clear. Unstable as water, you may be the excellency of strength and the firstborn, but you'll never excel. And there is a great, great truth. Now, we are commanded to listen to what old Jacob had to say to his sons so long ago. I love the way that the book of Genesis speaks plainly. The Lord shows himself most clearly at the beginning, and throughout the book retires somewhat, and here at the end speaks through another man. He doesn't speak direct, but Jacob here wants burying in his own land, and he's gathered up on the bed, one of these string beds I suppose, and he's sitting hunched up against the head of it, a little wizened old man, 140 years old, and he's talking to his sons. Now he dismisses his eldest son. You see, we talk for God, not for men. If he'd been talking for men, he would have given Reuben some compliments, but he gives him none. Now next he turns to the next two sons of Leah, Simeon and Levi, and he hasn't got much good to say about them, because God hasn't much good to say about them. First of all, he says they're brethren. He means they're like each other. They're instruments of cruelty are in their habitations, and it means they're a cruel pair. You remember what they did to the men of Shechem, who, when the prince of Shechem took Dinah and defiled her, they were her elder brothers, so was Reuben, but Reuben seems to have been a useless character, and they took swords and by deceit killed the men of Shechem and enslaved their families. They were a difficult pair. They were cruel and they were vengeful. Now it is strange that that should be allowed to be the way that things are. So it says, O my soul, come not into their secret assembly. And what it means is, don't get like the brothers did that day. They got them together and suggested this dishonest plan for overcoming the men of Shechem. Don't get into their assembly. Now, these two were very religious men. especially Levi, but Simeon too, and we are commanded to keep out of the assemblies of the religious which are dishonest, and there is much dishonesty going on in religion. Now we are to keep right quit of it, and it says, be not to their mine honour, be not thou united. And it, the reason is that they're at bottom murderers. They slew a man and digged down a wall. It means they acted like burglars or robbers. And they robbed a whole town. They spoiled Shechem. Now, the position that Jacob wishes to make perfectly plain is that Reuben is a bad lot, and that Simeon and Levi, in a different way, are also bad lots. Now the word of God warns us. You have here 12 characters in front of you, and every one of you wants a character. What character do you really want? I don't mean what you say, but underneath what you really are, what you want to be. You see, that's what God answers. God answers the prayers of your heart, not your lips. God knows that many people who say they'd like to be quit of sin, underneath, don't intend to be quit of that particular sin. So God answers the heart continually. Now, here's two warnings to keep quit of. And it says, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. And it means these men are a danger to themselves and others, and their tribes have to be divided among all the tribes of Israel, so they can't get together and start doing these wicked things again. So that when God divides families, it is partly because of the evil in those families, which if they got together, they would encourage each other in their weaknesses and evilness. And God scattered them. And God scatters families today. And that is one reason he does it. Now then he turns to Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah means praise. And so he's very clear here that Judah will be praised by his brethren. His name is praised. And there he is. His hand shall be on the neck, thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow before thee. Now what he says of Judah, who was the tribe which inhabited Jerusalem and had the temple and were the only tribe apart from little Benjamin that were left at the end when the others had gone, he says that they'll be as fierce as a lion. And he compares Judah to a lion. Now, this is the beginning of showing us how these men reflect the Lord Jesus Christ character who is coming, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that is what he is. The Lord Jesus Christ never flinched. I have thought very often that one of the hardest things he ever had to bear was being accused of being something he wasn't, of a pretender. He was accused of being a miracle worker by magic and spirits and evil spirits all the time. That was the accusation against him, and he had to contend with this idea of his being someone he wasn't. So everybody he met had a wrong view of him. They all thought that he was a charlatan, because they were continually told he was. So it's not surprising if we're called charlatans, and if we're not, it may be that we're not really like the Lord Jesus. If everybody gives us a good word and says what wonderful Christians we are, then probably we're not wonderful Christians at all. You see, the Lord Jesus had to cope with that, and this one he coped with like a lion, and so did the Lord Jesus. Now it says of him, who shall rouse him up? Judah could fight. And when you see the modern Israeli army, they're descendants of Judah, they can fight. They certainly can. Judah could fight. Now it says something very strange then. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, and the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Now some people take Shiloh to be a town, the town where the tabernacle was pitched when they came into the land. However, the fact is that the authority did depart from Shiloh. You see, your scepter left Shiloh. It didn't stay there. So it couldn't be a town, whatever people say about it. Other people say quite clearly that this word here means that it is peace, Shiloh. And that, I believe, is the right translation of it. It's peace, shalom. And the Lord Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Until the Prince of Peace come. That is very, very plain indeed. Now, again, there is another reason that God used Shiloh here. Shiloh also means, if you look at it, the sun, shil, that has a word shil in it, that can mean sun, and son of. So it's taken sometimes to mean a reflection of the Lord Jesus as son of God. And of course there's always shalom, sent. Which is Shiloh can mean too, mean can come, be sent. So all those ways it comes, but it is basically peace. And when Jesus came, you remember the angels said, glory to God in the heavens, and that glory there is Judah, praise. Praise be to God in the heavens, and on earth peace, on earth shalom, Shiloh. Until Shiloh come. Now there's vast fights over the meaning of this word, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The whole earth will gather to him in the end. And when it says binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt to the choice vine, it means that he entered Jerusalem, the vine of God, on the donkey. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of the grapes. And it speaks of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. And it means he's most attractive. All these things speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're very plain in their speaking of it. Now, when you look at Zebulun next. Zebulun means having the riches of the sea. Now, if you remember when Barak went to war, Zebulun dwelt in his breaches in the seashore, in the coastlands, and refused to join him. Zebulun were a peaceful people, but his border was to Zidon, and he was one of the very first to accept Baal worship and idolatry. Issachar made himself to be a burden bearer because he loved money. And that is exactly round like the people round about us. And he's like an ass couched down between two burdens. And he bowed his shoulder to bear because he saw the land was good. That is what people do. And that is where many Christians turn aside and became a servant unto tribute. Now Dan, it was one of the fighting tribes. Dan, you remember, had very little land and went up and captured land and lived in the north as well. Well, Dan is a judge of his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan is a serpent in the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heel so that the rider falls backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Dan was a fighting tribe. And I've always thought this, that in the church, certain churches, certain people are non-fighters. And they're very, very many. And they dwell in the land but are quite unable to fight the battles. They simply hate doing so, cannot understand the battles, and feel they're all wrong. So the majority of Christians are like these Issachar and Zebulun and Dan. One thing about Issachar worth remembering is the Lord Jesus Christ, in his Galilean ministry, went over the land of Issachar, and that was a great blessing there. Gad is a troop shall overcome him. Gad means a troop, but he shall overcome at the last. And there he's pressed hard, yet wins. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and shall yield royal dainties. Well now, there their various ones are. Naphtali, a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. Many of these tribes produced very little in the way of leadership. And then he goes over Joseph. Those were the two northern tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the big tribes. They were so big that the north was sometimes called the kingdom of Manasseh or the kingdom of Ephraim. And there, although all the difficulties that Joseph went through are there, in the end it says that his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. That's the first reference in the Bible to God as a rock or a stone and a defense. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and the Almighty who shall bless thee. And all the blessings of God came on Joseph. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Then Benjamin. Benjamin was a fierce tribe. You read about the end of Judges, how they fought. They were a fierce lot, and they lived also along the borders, and they were blessed by their father. Now, this I say again, that we have those blessings in the Lord Jesus, but only if we want them. No one forces them on us, God least of all. And if you're wise, you'll desire the best things. And if you're unwise, you'll let yourself be carried away with the things of the present and the things that appear important when they're not. Let us remember that blessing of Joseph, and let us specially give thanks for Shiloh, the Prince of Peace, who all else depends on. Amen.